Privilege that we can have on this side of life, every opportunity that we get to stand for the Lord. And this morning is no different. You know, we feel maybe the same every time before we come and before when we know that we're going to have to bring the Word of God. But I'm thankful that it's not by my might or power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. It's all about the Spirit, and I'm so thankful that we can feel it. In this place this morning, we were talking about the rain. And though many folks love if it would be sunny days all the time, I love when the rain comes. Because there was a time in my life when it was dry in my soul. The spiritual, my spirit was dry. Just as the grass we talked about, and it gets dry and dry, and it gets so brittle, and it gets so weak, it needs the rain. It needs the rain from the heavens above. There was a time, there's times in all our lives, whether we've been saved or not, that maybe we get away from the Lord and we begin to feel dry and we begin to feel weak. But I'm thankful that we have that well of grace. And I'm thankful that with joy we can draw from the well, the waters of salvation. I'm thankful for that. It's not just something where He said, I'm going to save you and then I'm going to throw you back down into the world to travel alone. I'm thankful that He said, I'm here. I will never leave or forsake you. I'm here with you. The only problem sometimes is that we are still flesh. We don't just have that spiritual, that new, born-again spiritual being. We are flesh. And the world pulls. And the world pulls. And it wants to take our joy. And it wants to take the joy of our salvation. It can never take my salvation. No matter how far I go out into the world. I believe in heaven I will lift my eyes. But while we're on this side, I tell you, the world wants to steal our joy. It wants to make us feel like that there is no God sometimes. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? We look there in the 73rd Psalm, and it's one of my favorite Psalms. It's when Asaph, maybe the first 14 verses of that Psalm, he's just battling in his head doubt and wondering, you know, what am I doing? What am I fighting for? What am I standing for? Praise God, this is just a little vapor of time in between two eternities. And I'm thankful. It doesn't matter where you're born. It doesn't matter where you live on this side. You can only end up in one of two places. And I'm thankful that what a day that will be when we'll see Him face to face. Oh, it's easy to doubt. You know, I can't say that I've never doubted. I've never doubted and said, Lord, I want to see more. But it's just faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. We're not always going to see. We're not always going to understand things. There's things in this world I do not understand. But I'm thankful that it's black and white. Salvation is black and white. It's Jesus. It's Him or it's nothing. He is the answer this morning. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the natural rain. I'm thankful for the spiritual rain that has saturated my soul when I woke up this morning. But I just want to read. I'm going to be reading in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 7th chapter. I want to read one verse there in the 23rd verse. And then I want to read, coming out of a chapter that they read a lot at weddings, in the book of 1 Corinthians, also in the 13th chapter. In the 13th verse, I'm thankful. We were talking just outside with Chris a little while, and I'm just thankful it doesn't matter where we stand. I'm thankful that no matter where we stand, whether we're teaching, whether we're preaching, no matter what we're doing, we don't change our message. The message doesn't have to be changed because it's the truth. We don't try to manipulate it talking to somebody in church, talking to somebody on a Tuesday morning. I could preach the same thing at the water cooler as we're doing right now. Because it'll work. What we say and what we do and are convincing is not what does it. It's the Word of God. It's quick. It's powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation. And if we just get the Word out, we don't have to try to wow people with our words. Or we don't have to try to do anything glitch, land. It doesn't matter. Everything's fine and good as long as the Word is first. If the Word's first, I'd love for there to be 5,000 people here listening to the gospel. Because that's what changes lives. That's what changes hearts. That's what saves souls. As we read in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 7th chapter, in the 23rd verse, it says, ye are bought with a price. be not ye the servants of men. And then in the 13th chapter of that same book, in the 13th verse, it says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And that's what I want to talk about to you today, the greatest of these. I believe that we're living in a world maybe that is looking for hope, that is finally maybe seeing the way this world is going, and they're really maybe laying down at night and wondering, where are we going to find hope? Where are we going to find our faith? But before we can find hope and before we can find faith, we have to understand what charity is. We hear about a lot of different charities and a lot of things, but I'm talking about true charity. When I think about charity, we look in maybe other translations of the Bible, and there it just turns it into the word love. But I think charity is a little deeper than just love. I believe it's love in action. That's what I believe it is. And in 2016, you know, sometimes I get blinded because we've been raised here in a community, and I've loved it all my life, and I'm thankful for the roots that I have, and I'm thankful for the people that I've gotten to meet and grow up around. I'm thankful for a mother and father that never had to make me wonder, what does it feel like to be loved? What does charity, love in action, what does that feel like? Because the time that I came into this world, I have felt nothing but unconditional love. But we're living in a broken world. We're living in a world where kids grow up today not knowing what it feels like to be loved. There's people that are grown, fully grown men, fully grown women that I believe have no idea what true charity is. Love in action, because they've never felt it. Maybe their father's never been there. Their mother has never been there. But I'm thankful today that you can hear a message. And I'm thankful that with boldness we can proclaim we know what true charity is. There's a lot of words going around. There's a lot of definitions of love going around. But I firmly believe God is love. That's where it is. That's where it starts, and that's where it begins. And before I told my call to preach, Chris, I couldn't have recited Bible books. I was not in the Word of God. So a lot of these stories, maybe in the New Testament that we come across, they are new to me, and it blesses my soul when I find one. And sometimes I'll preach on one a few times, and Mom will say, Kobe, you know, the Lord will give you something else. He'll give you something else. But sometimes I know and I find something, and it's important. It's important to understand what's going on. It's important to understand how we as Christians can put it into our daily lives. Instead of try and think the Lord wants to show me something new and just maybe get up here and ramble to you, I want to tell you a story this morning, one of the, my favorite stories. It's a love story, I believe, and it's in the book of Hosea. I did not know who Hosea was. I had never been into the book of Hosea, but I just read the first three chapters in Hosea, and I saw such a love story. I saw there maybe a faithful husband and an unfaithful wife. I saw maybe there a faithful God, a faithful Creator, and an unfaithful people. That when things are going good, maybe the people, the nation just turns from the Lord. And we look there as we begin there in Hosea, and we see the Lord comes to Hosea, and He has a job for Hosea. He wants to use it as a prophet. He wants to speak through him. And He wants Hosea to go out into Israel and to tell the people, you need to return to the Lord. You need to remember who gave you all the good things in your life. Because I believe in Hosea's day, it was a time when the nation, and when we read in the Old Testament about the nation of Israel, I see that as God's chosen people. So I can use that in my life. Just because it's so long ago, humanity doesn't change. Our minds doesn't change, but that nation, Israel, was God's chosen people. And now in the New Testament, praise God, born again believers in Jesus Christ, we are God's chosen people. And I don't believe He deals with us much different than He would back in the days when Israel, that was the people, that was His people. And He always tried to help them. He always tried to be merciful. They said, some of my friends say, Kobe, you're preaching about a God that's not merciful, and He sounds angry. He sounds like He gets mad. Well, He chastises His people. If I could understand, if I could get it across to you, that have your mother and daddy ever disciplined you? They don't do it out of hate. They don't do it out of anger. They do it because they're trying to mold you. They know what's best for you. That's who God is. God is my spiritual heavenly Father. And sometimes I get out of the way. I was a rambunctious child growing up, and my dad couldn't always love me with smiles and kisses. Just could not. We are a rambunctious. We are a people that when we get in the flesh, even the best. Talking to the old preachers, they say, son, it's hard to stay in the Spirit. It's hard to walk the walk. That's why we have a God that keeps us in the way and prods us and shows us. Maybe when we get out into the world, we don't feel good. That's that convicting power. That's the Holy Spirit leading us back. And here in Hosea's day, when things get good, they've maybe came into some temporal wealth. And it's good when we work hard and when we get money. It's not money. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. The Lord wants us to have things and He provides for us. But sometimes when we get a little much or when things are going good in our personal lives, maybe everything coming from the Lord, I can forget that it wasn't the Lord. I start to think in my head and I just put Him on the back burner. But then maybe we get back down into the valley and then we want to cry out to Him and say, can You help me, Lord? And sometimes He lets us see that, why weren't You crying out? Why weren't You thanking Me when your life was going good? Don't just come to Me, son. Don't just come to Me when things are bad. I want You to wake up in the morning when life is great, when life is grand, and say, thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. Thank You so very much. It's not just going to be roses and all kinds of good things every day, but I believe that a Christian will have better bad days than good when we focus, when we set our affection on things above. He said, Hosea. The Lord came to Hosea, and I feel for Hosea because this is such a tough thing that He's going to put him through. But the reason that He is going to put Hosea through this is to show the nation, the people of Israel, how much He loves them. And I believe that it shows us how much that He loves mankind and how much He truly loves us. Although that He is a God that chastises, although that He is a God that can bring death, He can do it all. And He gets jealous. He gets angry. We're going to see how much that He loves humankind. He said, You're going to find a woman, but she's going to be a woman of whoredom. She's going to be a harlot. She's going to be a harlot, Hosea, but this is what's going to happen. You're going to look into her eyes, and you're going to fall deeply. You're going to fall deeply in love with this woman named Gomer. And sure enough, he said that it was going to happen. And, you know, in my life, I sometimes doubt the Lord, but what the Lord says always comes to fruition. It always comes true. We can hang on those promises. So Hosea meets Gomer. And there, the Lord said, you're going to meet her, you're going to fall in love with her, but she's going to go off, and she's going to run around on you, Hosea. And she is going to break your heart. We can look at that, and the Lord, oh, how God has done so many good things all the way from the beginning for His people, and how He always does so many good things for us. It's still, when we get not to where we're supposed to be, we can turn from the Lord. I'm not talking about turning away our testimony, always believing in Jesus, but still sometimes trying to get back into the flesh. Sometimes trying to go back and say, well, Lord, I love You. I'm coming on Sunday, but I do this during the week. Or I do that during the week. I found out just by experience that doesn't work. That's when you can get dry again. When you forsake that fountain of living waters all week long. He wants us to have joy all the time. He wants us to have joy not just on Sunday mornings. Sometimes growing up, it used to be live, come, and get a guilt trip on Sunday. That's not us. That's not what the Lord wanted. That wasn't the preacher just looking at me. That was the Word of God cutting into my soul. Old Pete Martin said, be careful with that book, son. It'll cut you. It cuts to the heart. It cuts to the heart of our, cuts to our spirit. So we know. Then we hear them hard messages when we're living right. And we hear the hard messages. Those begin to fill us up. Those begin to prod us along and give us that encouragement to go on another week. He told Hosea, he said, she's going to start running around on you, Hosea. She's not all the things you've given her. She's going to take them for granted. and she's just going to go maybe from strange man to strange man. This harlot is going to go, and she's going to keep just going around. And I think about that, and I think about maybe we as human beings, we just go. People that do not know the Lord, they go around maybe with that broken cistern within them. And they're going from man to man. They're going from thing to thing. They're going from drugs. And maybe they're going to alcohol. They're looking for that thing that they think will satisfy. We're born broken into this world. And we get older, everybody wants to feel satisfaction and fulfillment. That's what everybody wants to be, whether it be the oldest biker man or the oldest little lady. It does not matter. Everybody wants peace. They might not tell you that they want inner peace, but everything they're doing, they want to lay their head on their pillow at night and just be at peace. And we look for that everywhere, and we try to find it everywhere. And sometimes things of the world work. And I believe that maybe Gomer, she went around for a little while, and maybe she had some good times, and she got what she needed. But there came a time. There came a time when Gomer, she was there. She was stripped naked. There was no man to take care of her anymore. When we get off into the world, when we do worldly things, we keep filling ourselves full of the world, there is going to come a time when it does not work anymore. There's going to come a time when it does not satisfy what we need anymore. And that's when we get broken. And praise God, that's where He wants us to be. That's where the Lord wants us to be. You cannot be saved unless you know that you are lost. You cannot. That's why the convicting power has got to stay here. That's why no matter if you've never heard the gospel, if you're hearing it now and it's convicting your soul, there is something that can be done. But you should not feel good. When you're lost, you should feel the sin exposed in your life. I believe that is what the Word of God does. When it gets read, when a man, woman opens it up and begins to read and let it sink in, when somebody's preaching it, it exposes, it shines the light in the darkness of sin to show just how nasty it is and to show maybe what's going on and what the how terrible of a sinful world we live in. It exposes it and lets us know that something's got to be done. Because you look at Gomer there, I believe, maybe say she was in the sex trade there. She was in the harlot just getting passed around. And she got to where she was just getting sold. And she was getting bought and sold and bought. And I can see her there chained up, maybe with no clothes on, just standing there waiting on the next man to come and take her away again. But this is the love of God. This is when it gets really good. Hosea, he could have said, she's ran around on me. I don't want to go get her. I can't go get her back. I don't love her anymore. That's maybe what he was going to say. But this is what the Lord told Hosea. We're going to show Israel how much that I love them through you. He said, this is what I want you to do. He said, go love a woman. He said, I want you to go get her back. No matter what she's done, she's ran around all over you. She's taken your name, Hosea, and she has made it mud. But this is what I want you to do. We read, and we did a little bit of studying there. And when there is a harlot, maybe in the slave trade, it takes 30 pieces of silver, or it takes 15 pieces of silver and a homer and a half of barley. And you can get your woman. You can get whatever woman you want there for that price. And he told Hosea, I want you to take the 15 pieces of silver. I want you to take the homer and a half of barley and go get your woman back. Tell her that you still love her. But she's got to come and be faithful to you. All you want her to do is come back. And he did that. He paid that price. And the only thing, my buddy said, I don't understand much about the Bible, Colby, but I want to break it down. Once you break down the Bible and show it to somebody that does not know the Lord, they can understand. That's what we got to get across. This is a simple thing. It's a very important problem. Sin is an important problem, but it is simple because there is a remedy. There is something that has been paid. But when we're there and we look, and that Gomer, she was there. There was nothing that she could do. That's a great picture to show what a lost soul, what somebody in the bondage of sin feels like. That shows them where they are at. No matter if they try to start doing good again, it's not going to be enough. to get out. No matter what they try to do, all the apologies, it will not matter. There's nothing that when we are born into this world, shaping in iniquity, in sin did our mothers conceive us. We came into this world bad. If we could get people to understand, it's not what you did growing up as a teenager. It's not what you did when you did all this. And when you did all that, I want to get to the root of the problem. You go to the doctor's office, they said, you don't need to be taking all this. We found the root. We found the root of the problem. So you put all the medication away, take this, and it's going to make it better. Because we've got down to the heart of it. And the heart of the problem is that original sin. That when we are born into this world, broken down, we are separated from God. But something was done. Something was done to make that connection back. Because we look and we see, and we're all sinners. We've all came short of the glory of God. We see maybe that the wages of sin is death. We looked, it took 15 pieces of silver, a homer and a half of barley to get a harlot out of the slave trade. Well, to get a sinner out of the sin trade, it takes blood. It takes death. But praise God. People say, we don't serve a merciful God. We don't serve a God that loves us. I say, can I tell you how much He loves us? Can I tell you what He did? He gave His Son from the foundation of the world to come down and to come into the likeness of man. Was no man, but He put on the flesh of man. And He came and He was ridiculed and He was mocked and He went all the way to the cross and shed His blood. Because that was the only payment. Perfect blood was the only thing that could get the sinner out of the sin trade. That could get the guilty conscience wiped entirely clean. Whatever it takes. I can see Jesus there as He's bowed down in the garden. Whatever it takes. Have I done enough? This is what I want. I love them. We love them. God loves humankind. He loves mankind so much. If they would only believe. If they would only realize that He sent His only Son. He sent His only Son to shed that blood. The goats couldn't do it. The bulls couldn't do it. It was all just showing little types and shadows of the real thing coming. Love was coming. Love came down from heaven. The fire came down from heaven. We cannot do anything of ourselves to find favor with God. We need to act. We need to live right. We need to live by the Bible, but only living right will never get you to heaven. The reason we live right is because we understand and are just so thankful that He came and died. He shed His blood. On the third day, He rose again. If you would get a song, I believe I'm almost done this morning. The Lord Jesus is the answer to all our problems. He's the answer to the hurting in our souls. It said, oh, Jeremiah, they have forsaken Me, the fountain of living waters. They have committed two evils. That's what He said. They've forsaken Me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewed themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. When we hit, it's good. It's good to preach on some sin, this sin, that's great, everything, but the one sin, forsaking Jesus Christ, that will send you to hell. That is the only thing that will send you to hell. No matter what you've done, if you can understand that no matter what you are, you may sit there and you may be feeling broken. You may be feeling naked like such a sinner, such a vile sinner. That's the gospel. And it makes you feel convicted because there is an answer. The old man said, Kobe, don't preach them into hell unless you're going to give them heaven. Don't do it. But praise God, we know the beginning, we know the middle, and we know how it finished. He hung on the cross. He said, it is finished. It's done. It's been paid. That the death, the blood that had to be offered for the whole world to be saved. It's been given. It's been done. I'm so thankful that we just have to accept and believe and receive it. He's done the work. Oh, He's already saved the whole world. But if you forsake, if you do not
abide, if you don't heed the call of the Holy Spirit, that is the one sin that will send you to a devil's hell. Every time. Every time there is eternal life and there is eternal damnation. Eternal condemnation for those that don't believe, just because they do not believe. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way and walk therein? But then it said they would not walk therein. It's a simple choice. If you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, what a wonderful day it would be to start life brand new. A preacher said, they asked me what it means to be born again. I couldn't tell them. Well, tell them it's spiritual. You're spiritually dead when you come into this world. But the price that was paid by Jesus Christ gave us the ability. When He rose on the third day, we can rise in life with Him. We can be whole again. We can be spiritually alive. Feel the joy. Feel the love of our Creator as they sing.